Well, let us prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you, choir. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so nice to be here with you all this day. Welcome you here to Asbury Memorial, a special welcome to our visitors and also to our visiting organist, Dr. Vance Reese. We're so pleased to have you with us today, Vance. I'd like to highlight a few announcements before we begin the rest of our service. There'll be a few meetings this week. Well, number one, there's a meeting with food. Well, not really a meeting, just a time of fellowship. Lemonade on the linoleum today. So downstairs, it looked a little cloudy outside. So please join us for some snacks and refreshments downstairs hosted by the NOW committee. So thank you, NOW Committee, for your efforts with all of that. So join us right after worship for that. Also, Monday at 11 a.m. in the chapel, we'll have our worship committee meeting. This is kind of, it was rescheduled from last week in light of Ann's passing. So if you're able, we have several things to talk about, from homecoming to Advent to all sorts of other fun stuff. So please, if you're on the worship committee, join us at 11 a.m. Scott, do you have anything you would add to that?
No, that's it. Please try to be here.
Great. And also, for those of you who are on the lay leadership committee, was formerly called the Committee on Nominations. We're going to have an evening meeting at 7 p.m. This Tuesday, also in the chapel. So if you're on that, please try to attend. If not, you can just email me or call me, let me know, so that I can make a record of that. I'll draw your attention to the other announcements listed here in our bulletin. And I think Rick has an announcement regarding homecoming.
Good morning. Well, it's about 1 month to homecoming, which means on the 12th of October, we will gather thousands of us in this very room. many more thousands downstairs for the meal that follows. The church, of course, will be responsible for the beverage and the bread. We will be responsible for all the other goodies, the casseroles, the meats, the vegetables, and all of those desserts, ladies. Again, we want to welcome you and thank you for all your help in the past for our homecomings, and we want to thank you for being here this year for our homecoming. If ever we needed a homecoming, this year we need a homecoming. And we need to celebrate it with all the gusto that homecoming deserves. Lots of special music. It won't be the same, but it will be special music. And let's all please be here. Our theme this year is sacrifice and commitment. So look forward to seeing all of y'all. Invite your friends. Go out in the roadways. Drag in the strangers. Get your families from afar. Be here on October 12th for homecoming. And it will start about 11 and run until, what do you think, 4 or 5 in the afternoon? Until about 12:30, and then we'll meet downstairs for the meal. Thank y'all.
And just to reiterate what Rick was saying there, the service usually goes for about an hour and a half when we have homecoming, so it'll finish up about 12:30, so eat a big breakfast. Well, not too big, though, because there'll be plenty of food for the lunch right afterwards. And Rick, you said the theme was commitment and sacrifice. Rest assured, no animals will be harmed in the making of that other than a few chickens. Anyway, are there other announcements? Well, if not, I invite you to stand as we join together in the our opening hymn, which is found in The Faith We Sing, the little supplement to our hymnal. It's number 2103. It's a tune that we know very well. We have come at Christ's own bidding. Let's stand as we offer our praise.
We have come.
And I invite you to remain standing as we turn in the back of our hymn books to the Psalter, to number 835, as we read responsively from Psalm 114. When Israel went forth from Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of a strange language. The sea looked and fled. Jordan turned back.
The mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs.
What ails you, O sea, that you flee, O Jordan, that you turn back?
O mountains that you skip like rams, O hills like lambs.
Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. Please be seated, and I invite our children to come forward with Miss Margaret for our children's time.
Get behind if you need to, because there's something, I mean, round a little bit, not so spread out, okay? Because I need you close to me this morning. Okay. Did you say good morning to me?
Good morning.
Thank you. Oh, I just love to see you when I do the children's sermon in church. Now, today, it was kind of, I was thinking, what am I going to do? I need a picture. Because I had something in my mind what I wanted to do with you. And I'm not very good at art. So Derek said, well, I'll do you a picture. So I said, oh, thank you. And so we both talked about what we were going to put on this picture. So Derek went to the... to his studio and did a picture for me and brought it back to me, and I thought, uh-oh, this is not really what I wanted. There's something wrong with this picture. I'm going to show it to you, and I want you all to tell me what is wrong with the picture, okay? Here it is. That's why I needed you closer.
The roof is off the house, and the roof is on the ground, and the house is upside down, and the sun has a frowny face.
The girl has shoes on her hands, and her hands are her feet.
That's strange. Can you hear that? This is on, isn't it? Hello?
The flower's upside down and the rain's coming from the sun.
Good. What about the dog down there? What's wrong? Not really.
Has Derek gone the way of Picasso?
Leg. It's an extra leg. There's an extra leg.
Yes, the dog has 5 legs. So all that's wrong with this picture is the house is upside down, the roof is off the house, it's fallen off, the dog has 5 legs, the sun is square,
and
it has a kind of a sad face. I think these are tears coming from the sun because it's not usually square. It should be round. The flower is upside down. And what about this lady here? She has boots on her hands and hands for feet. That's not really what I wanted this morning. But do you know what? I think it's a good picture and it's very clever, don't you? So I forgave Derek because he was so good to do this for me. So I forgave him. And, you know, sometimes we all make mistakes. And you make mistakes sometimes, don't you? You all make mistakes sometimes. And Mommy and Daddy know you make mistakes. But they always forgive you. I wonder why. They forgive you because they love you. And that's why Mommy and Daddy. Now, you have friends at school, and sometimes they may not be... She's laughing at this, not me. They may not be very kind to you. And it's very hard to forgive. But, you know, Jesus really wants us to forgive people that are not very kind to us. We need to forgive them. And that's what Jesus does. And I think this morning we'll be hearing about unforgiveness, and that's people that don't forgive what people have done for them. So, but we're thinking of forgiveness this morning because that's what we all need to do. So let's say a little prayer. You can just all hold hands where you are and we'll say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we all make mistakes and we ask you to forgive us and we will try to do better next time. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Now we need, I will choose who I want. Would you like to collect the bread tin? I need two more. Who has not done it very often? I don't think it. Oh, well, you take that one at one side, one at the other, and I need two more. Wait a minute, don't move. Where are they?
Oh, there's just those two.
No, there's some there.
This one's for the choir.
Oh, I see. Sorry, we've only got
one. Yeah, on that side.
Well done. But we need two people. Can you go around that side?
Thank you all for your help.
Thank you.
While our children are collecting the bread tin, just a brief note, number one, about what our bread tin collection is. Each month we try to pick a different beneficiary for that. And it's a loose change offering that goes to help out all sorts of different causes that our missions committee has decided on throughout the whole year. This time, for this month of September, it goes to Nothing But Nets. There's a particular mosquito that causes malaria that only is active at night, and Nothing But Nets is an international organization that gets mosquito netting to folks in areas where they're prone to this problem. And the Methodist Church has been very supportive of this movement as well. So that's what our bread tin collection this month goes to. But as our children are circulating those bread tin plates, I also want to remind you that if you have a prayer request that you would like to share, you can place that in there, and we will announce those during our prayer time later on. And also, just wanted to highlight a few of the other things. If you've never gotten a chance to participate in Habitat for Humanity, it is a wonderful, wonderful time. There's just so much fun that can be had, and you'll learn how to build a house. Each time, there's a different job and task that's at hand. And so if you're able-bodied and willing to help out and swing a hammer, work a drill, whatever, there's always something that can be done. Just contact Merritt at his email address that's listed here in our bulletin, and he can get you signed up for any of those if we have vacancies. But I've never seen them turn down anyone if we have more spots than there are official needs. So thank you for your generous contributions with our missions work here at the church. Thank you. I hope you'll have fun at Children's Church. Bye-bye. Well, before our scripture is read, I invite you to join with me in our prayer for illumination as printed in our bulletins. Let us pray together. Holy God, your word is strong and leads our feet to your holy dwelling place. Strengthen and guide us with your word through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
The epistle lesson today comes from Romans 12, verses 14 through 21. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I'm
Anne was never one to let a moment of commentary pass by. So in that spirit, one step he leads, one step I follow. That was very nice. There's a Jewish blessing that says, may you be covered in the dust of the rabbi, meaning that you follow so closely behind the rabbi that you're covered in his dust. Beautiful image. Thank you so much. Our gospel lesson this morning comes to us from Matthew 18. I'll be reading verses 21 through 35. Let us hear now the word of the Lord. Then Peter came to Jesus and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all of his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused. And then he went and he threw him into the prison until he would pay the debt. Now when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their Lord all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Just a few days ago, we passed that ominous marker, September 11th, right? It never fails that I always remember where I was at that moment. My friend Greg was getting married that weekend up in Ohio, and I was in his parents' house, and we were preparing for all that. And as I watched those events unfold on the TV screen that morning and afternoon and everything, as was the case with most churches everywhere that evening, there was a prayer service at his church that he and his family attended. And so I tagged along with that evening. And the pastor at the church, he gave a moment for people to stand up and say something or to offer whatever was on their mind. Might have been a mistake. One gentleman, I will never forget, stood up with hate and rage pumping through his veins. And he said that he felt like God should kill every Arab in the world because of those events that day. There were many folks in the congregation that evening who were appalled by this man's suggestion. But there were many who offered an ardent amen. I was a couple years after that, I was serving as a pastor down in Baden, and there was a lady who had come to the parsonage that night, and we were kind of having an impromptu counseling session, I suppose, and she had been victimized by her monster of a father from the time that she was young, physically, emotionally, and otherwise. and 40 years or so had passed. She had been evicted from the house at gunpoint by her father at the tender age of 16. And I just couldn't help but say, so have you forgiven him after 40 years? Are you able to find yourself in that place? And she says, oh, yeah, yeah, I don't want him dead anymore. I've forgiven him. Now, I seriously doubt that the gentleman that day in my friend's church 13 years ago has gone on to become an interfaith agent of healing and hope. And I know for a fact that this lady who I was counseling that evening still doesn't understand what forgiveness is. It's not just not plotting someone's death, right? Forgiveness is so much more than all of that. It's not for the simple or the faint of heart. I've heard one person say that failing to extend forgiveness is like taking a poison yourself in the hopes that it will harm the one who hurt you. Taking a poison yourself in the hopes that it will harm the person who hurt you. And, you know, I also think about any time forgiveness comes up, I think about that prayer that we pray virtually every Sunday, the Lord's Prayer. And forgive us our trespasses, our debts, some versions say our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And if we really get to the essence of what's there, there's that one little word, as. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In essence, what we're saying is that we're asking forgiveness from God to be applied in the same manner that we apply it to others. In so many ways, this story of the unforgiving servant, this parable that was just read from Matthew's gospel, in so many ways, it's so simple and yet so difficult, isn't it? Forgiveness is not for the faint of heart. And, you know, the other thing that really bothers me about this passage that I just read is that last verse. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Wouldn't it be so much easier if those three words had been left out, from your heart? How many times have those of you with children seen this? Tell your sister you're sorry. And then what happens?
Sorry.
What? Tell your sister you're sorry.
Sorry.
No, look her in the eye. Tell your sister you're sorry.
Sorry.
We learned this. Cora, I'm not talking about you. Don't worry, sweetie. I'm not talking about you. Lila, maybe. No, I'm just kidding. But we've all seen this. What does it mean to forgive, to truly forgive from our hearts? It's not just a, okay, I got to cover my own, and so I'm going to forgive this person or tell them they're forgiven just so I can make sure I'm forgiven by God, you know. I don't know. What does genuine forgiveness look like? What does forgiveness from our hearts really look like when it comes down to it? In an effort to get at, I don't know what might be termed the spirituality of forgiveness, in an effort to try to get to that point of genuine forgiveness, forgiveness from our hearts and what that really means, I was reading a bunch of articles. I often do. The Alumni Association at Duke has a wonderful thing where I can type in stuff and get access to all the things in the library at Duke, even though I'm here in Asheville. And it just comes up as a PDF on my screen. It's just wonderful. And I'll frequently type in a scripture reference, and I'll read through 7 or 10 articles trying to, you know, figure out what to say with you all here each Sunday. And I did that this week, and I was reading through, and there was one that was rather short, and it was in the Christian Century back in 2005. And I was reading through it. It was a very good article. I really liked it. It seemed somehow so familiar to me. I had not paid too much attention as to who the author was or what the date was or anything until after I'd read it. And wouldn't you know, it was written by Inyong at St. Paul's. And so I called her. I said, Inyong, thank you for your article. And she says, what article? I said, well, the one that you wrote in 2005. There was just this wonderful familiarity about it. And so in that article, Inyong, who's from South Korea originally, shared a story of a man named Yang Won Sun. And I don't know if I can pronounce the Korean very well, but his name was Yang Won Sun. And he was a minister over there. He was born in the 1900s, early 1900s, and lived until about 1950, I think, through all sorts of revolution and everything else that happened there, through the Japanese occupation of South Korea. Anyway, he was... at one point, the Japanese had taken over the country, and they had erected in front of the churches that were there a Shinto shrine to the emperor. And they had required folks to bow and honor the emperor as they entered the church. Well, this gentleman, who earned himself the nickname the Atomic Bomb of Love. I think that sounds like a wrestling name, doesn't it? Like, I think he should be a professional wrestler, Atomic Bomb of Love. Anyway, he refused to bow down to this shrine and faced imprisonment for 5 years, which he did. And he had two sons who were also studying to become ministers as well. And they had plans to come over here to America and study. And in 1948, there was a rebellion known as the Yosun Rebellion. And another student with ties to the North and a group of four other folks with him had learned that there were these two Christians among them, Reverend Yang Won Son, his sons were there, and they dragged them out of the house where they were, both of them, into the streets where they beat them and tortured them and told them that they needed to renounce their faith in Christ. Rather than do that, they used it as a moment to tell others about Jesus. Eventually, they were shot and killed. A few days later, once order was restored to the town where they lived, the police had arrested these gentlemen, these five individuals, and they were imprisoned and facing the death penalty. This guy, Yang Won Sun, hard name to pronounce, even harder act to follow, he lobbied the courts for their release. He lobbied the courts for the release of the person who murdered his two sons. And then, in an effort to save his son's murderer from the death penalty, he adopted him as his own son. Wow. I was worried I might not be able to find what genuine forgiveness from the heart looked like. And then I came across that story. He adopted him. Unbelievable. At the funeral for his two sons, Reverend Son closed with this prayer of thanksgiving. Isn't that nice that funerals always have a prayer of thanksgiving? I think it's appropriate. But he wrote this prayer of thanksgiving, which I think shows us in vibrant and stunning detail what forgiveness from the heart really looks like. He prayed thusly, "My God, I thank you for having allowed martyrs to be born in the family of sinners such as mine. My Lord, I thank you for having entrusted me out of countless believers with such precious treasures. Among my three sons and three daughters, I thank you for my blessings through which I could offer you my two most beautiful children, my oldest and second oldest sons. I thank you for the martyrdom of my two children, when the martyrdom of one child in itself is much more precious than I could bear. I thank you for the martyrdom of my sons who were shot to death while they were preaching the gospel, when dying peacefully on his deathbed in itself is a tremendous blessing for a believer. I thank you for my heart is at peace as my sons who had been preparing to go and study in America are now in a place that's much better than America. God, I thank you for giving me a heart of love for repentance of the enemy who murdered my sons and compelling me to adopt him as my own. My Father God, I thank you for there will now be countless more sons of heaven through the fruit of the martyrdom of my sons. I thank and thank our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given me these eight truths. In times of such adversity, the joyful heart seeking faith and love, and the faith that provides me with composure. To these words, I think we can, all of us gathered here in the pews this morning, offer our own ardent amen. Our hymn is number 463. It's in our normal hymnal, Lord, Speak to Me, number 463. Let's stand as we offer our praise.
You may be seated. Let us turn our hearts and minds together in prayer. You, O God, have called us to privileges and opportunities. You have made us in your image and placed within us the mark of your likeness. You have given us feelings and emotions, rational processes, and the will to choose what we shall do with your gifts. You have given us so many things, and we are grateful. Lord, in your mercy. You, O God, have given us memories to hold, and we cherish that which we have known and loved. We indeed are grateful for all those who have been friends, family, and mentors in our lives. Thank you for the memories we shall always treasure of those we love. And we continue to lift Ann Perkins and the family of Anna Smith and all others who are grieving this day. You have taught us how to keep alive the lingering poetry of time and place. And as another Patriots Day or 9/11 passed, we are reminded that life doesn't always go as we plan, but through it all, you, O God, are present. You are with us. You are loving us. You, O God, have enabled us to recall the green of spring during the dark days of winter and the lushness of summer gardens when January is barren and cold. You have given us the memory of faces and voices, the remembrance of hands once touched and laughter and tears once shared. We are thankful for all the good memories we have, for people we have known, for streets we have walked, and for houses we have lived in. You, gracious and loving God, have given us so much, and we, your people, spend such little time remembering and thanking you. Yet we know you understand, and life goes on, and you continue to give us hope for this life and the life to come. Lord, in your mercy, hear now our prayers for all those on our prayer list in the bulletin, those in the bread tin I failed to collect, and those that are heavy on our hearts, that we lift to you at this time for your loving comfort, your healing hand, your very presence in their lives. Lord, in your mercy, excite us for what gifts, adventures, and love awaits us. Give us sunrise eyes to see new blessings each and every day. Teach us that we are not just what we have been. We are also what we hope for, dream of, and what we challenge your church here on earth to become. Remind us if our hopes are small, we are small. If our faith is limited, our tomorrows will be limited as well. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Take our squeezed-in hearts and expand them. Take this choked-up voice of ours and enable it to shout, glory and honor be to the one true God, our Father and our Mother, this day and always. Send us out into the world this day singing, singing songs of praise for lives lived faithfully, singing songs of joy. And let us remember that your truth is known not in lessons memorized once long ago, nor in deeds done once, but in the continuing presence of the Holy Spirit in this world and the next. Let us remember yesterday and let us anticipate tomorrow. Through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite our ushers to come forward as we continue in our service and worship.
As we sing together the doxology. Let us pray. Gracious and forgiving God, author of life, giver of hope, and of all that is well and good, O Lord, take these, our offerings this day, the offerings of our money, the offerings of our memories, the offerings of our lives and our future actions, and use them all, O Lord, to bring your love and your forgiveness and your wholeness to places where it needs it the most. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to remain standing. Our final hymn is What a Friend We Have in Jesus, number 526.
Thank you.
Go therefore into the world in the strength of the Spirit of Christ as bearers of his light and bearers of his love and forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Please join us downstairs for some refreshments as you're able.